Okay, Rabbi Sai, good morning. We're starting from Daf Chof Ches at the very top at the Mishnah. And the Mishnah is going to tell us, although min ha-Torah certain melachos are mutter on Yontif, including because mishum melechas oichel nefesh, however midrabanon, there's something known as ma'aseh choyl. Ma'aseh choyl means that it looks like an uvdin dechoyl, that this activity has the markings of something which is a weekday activity and not a yontiv activity. It's not within the spirit of the yontiv, and therefore the Chum didn't want a zilzal of the yontiv, and that's why they made special rules and regulations. So says the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer Shoykel Odom Boser Kenegra Kliyoy Kenegra Kupitz. What happens if a person wants to determine the weight of meat? Rashi's talking about, says Rashi, we're talking about a tabach, a butcher who's selling meat. Now, although you're normally not to go and sell anything on Yom Tov, Mekuch or Memker is also, but we've had already previously in our Masechta that there was a special leniency given for sales of food that people need for Oynig Yom Tov, and you're not allowed to go and pay, of course, and you're not allowed to even go and set a price at that time. All financial discussions will have to be made either before Yom Tov or after Yom Tov, but not on Yom Tov itself. So the butcher is going to go now and sell Mr. Rosenberg some meat on Yontiv. He wants to know how much he's selling him. Is he selling him a pound, 2 pounds, 5 pounds? So you're not allowed to go and weigh it the way you would normally weigh it. As you know, in the good old days, they didn't have electronic machines like we have today. They had weights and they had scales where you put the weight on one side of the scale, you put your piece of meat on the other side, and you saw what the weight is or was. Says Rabbi Yehuda, you're not allowed to do that. But what you can do is you can do it with a shinui. What's the shinui? Instead of putting a weight on the other side, the weight would say 1 pound, 2 pounds, whatever it is. Shekel odem basar keneged akli. You can go and put basar on one side and a kli on the other side. A kli, let's say a large mug, where you know that the mug is a pound or 2 pounds. So normally you wouldn't use that as your weight. You'd normally use that jug to go and drink. But nevertheless, al tashinoi, it's permissible to use that for purposes of weighing. Or can I get a kupitz? Kupitz is a large butcher knife that is used to go and cut large pieces of meat or to go and cut bones, which... Oh, did the kupitz just fall down? Anyway, so this kupitz was also... You can put it on the other side of the scale and use that as your weight.
Why does the Mishnah use both expressions, kupitz and keli? Kupitz is also a keli. Mm-hmm. If I know that the keli is good, if I know the weight of it, kupitz is also good. Isn't this mayuta?
So you're asking why do you have the double lashon?
Right.
The Gemara is going to be medayik. For instance, what happens if I want to go and weigh one mana of meat against another mana of meat? In other words, from Erev Yontif, the butcher already has set aside 1 pound pieces of meat. Now on Yontif, he wants to go and measure new meat. So he wants to go and take that 1 pounder from yesterday, put on one side of the scale, and put meat on the other side till it adds up to the same 1 pound. That, the Gemara is going to say, is permissible, and we'll see why. So we see from there that the Gemara is going to say, a shala, whether you're allowed to be shoykel mana keneged mana, and the Gemara is going to go and try to bring a raya from our Mishnah that you cannot, only a kli or kupitz, but not a mana. So it could be that if it would only say a kli, then the Gemara would assume that a kli is lavdafk, it's referring to anything.
Yeah.
So by the fact that it enumerates a kli and a kupitz, comes to tell you, not everything and anything, but in fact, mana keneged mana
has to be a kli.
Has to be a kli, exactly. I think that could be the
like
reason for this. Right.
So. Is there any question whether it's actually a sale if there's no transaction of money?
Yeah, I was going to ask.
Well, it's a pseudo sale in the sense that the meat goes from the seller to the buyer, but no money changed hands.
We've had this in him before.
Yes, we have.
And it seems that there was Mekach HaMemkar on Yantaf.
This is not called Mekach HaMemkar if no money changed hands, and they didn't even stipulate a price. He said, don't worry, you're a good customer, I give you the meat now, it's 2 pounds, come back tomorrow, come back on Monday, and we'll work out a deal, we'll work out the price. That's not called Mekach HaMemkar. Of course, you can't do that if you're going and selling widgets or you're selling chairs or tables. But if he's selling things which are ochel nefesh, then the chachamim were matir because of the simchas yomtiv involved.
When you go overseas, I eat in these Shabbos restaurants all the time. Mm-hmm. There's no issue about that at all.
Anything having to do with halacha l'maisa, speak to a competent Orthodox rabbi. I just get paid to get through the daf. Okay? Right. If you want to look at the top Rashi, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer Shekel Odom Basar, says Rashi, Tabach. Tabach is the butcher. Hamoicher Basar b'mishkol. He sells basar by the weight. Avo b'isha osa lishkoil b'litra. You're not allowed to go and weigh it against a litter, in other words, against a weight, because it's a masa choil. Mutter hu lishkoil k'negera. Kliu k'negera. Kupit. What is a kupit? A sack and godol, a large butcher knife. She coats him by basar. The ikash shinoi, v'le have a masa choil. The important thing is that if you did it one weight against another weight, that would be a masa choil, prohibited. If you do a shinoi, it's not a problem. That's according to Tanakama. Well, Chamum Oimrim, Ein Mashkichim Bekaf Meiznaim Kol Iker, stay away from a scale. Don't even look at it. Don't even, what do you have those signs for parking? Don't even think of parking over here. You get $250 just for thinking about it. Just the machshava alone is possible to give you a parking ticket. So here too, don't even think about using the Meiznaim. Now this is of course a very strong Lashon. It could have said, Chamum Oisrin. Why does he use such an expression? My call iker zoktimorim of Yudam Shmuel. I fill the shomrim minu achbarim. What happens if, unfortunately, there were mice around, and the storekeeper, the butcher, is not going to stay in his store all day. He has to go home and have his own simchas yontiv. He only opened up for an hour to allow people to go and get some meat for yontiv. But the problem is, since there are mice around, he wants to go and put the meat up as high as possible, so that the mice hopefully will not be able to climb up and get to the meat. Say the Chachamim, don't even use the scales as a receptacle to keep the meat intact and secure from the mice. This problem only is if the scales are in fact in place the way they normally are. Hanging, Rashi says, trita means a tabas, a ring, from which the scales would usually hang down, one on the right, one on the left, etc. Because if the tabach, the butcher, is going to go and put the meat in, nobody knows he's putting it in to go and secure it from the mice. They think that they're putting it in to go and start weighing again. You're not allowed to go and weigh things on yontif, like we said. So therefore, if it's talibetrita, it's prohibited. However, what happens if you took the scales off of that ring and you put it aside on a shelf somewhere, or you put it away? Then you can go and use that as a receptacle for the meat against the mice. V'yom Rav Yehuda Mishmul, Tabach Uman Oso Lishkol Basar Biyad. Tabach Uman means he's such... Exactly. Tabach Uman means he's such a professional that he is so gifted when it comes to weight, he can go and feel it with his hands. But Rashi says it's not just a question of feeling with his hands. He takes in one hand the meat, he takes the litter, the weight on the other hand, and he himself acts like a human scale. This is a very heavy weight. It's going to pull him down. He takes the beef meat on the other side, and all of a sudden, he becomes stable. So, Tabach Uman is also to do that. The reason why it's also, explains Rashi, is because he is such a professional. He does this often during the week. If he doesn't have scales available, he tells his customer, "I don't need the scale. Come on, you give me the meat over here." He takes the meat. It's exactly the same. And then afterwards he puts on the scale and you see he's stuck right that it's the same. Because he is so skilled and so talented. What happens if the tabach, instead of using scales, he wants to use the displacement of water? Now of course displacement of water is volume, it's not weight. However, he knew that all rib steaks all basically have the same weight, or all chopped meat is basically all the same weight, and he knows that if you have the 1 pound of chopped meat, it usually displaces 8 ounces of water, lamashal. So therefore he figures, oh, I'm not going to do it through the normal weights and balances and scales, I'm going to go and put it into water, and we'll see how far the water goes up, you know, the notches on the side of the measuring cup, and then we'll know for sure if it's a pound, 2 pounds, and it usually works very, very well.
But this is a shinoi, this is kaleach adyat.
It's true, but Rashi, but Gemara says that if it's a tabach umman, osa lishkol basar b'mayim, why? Because since he's such a professional, he sometimes does that during the week as well. In other words, this is If he doesn't have his scales available, this is his backup plan that he uses, and he puts it into the water. So, and he's very talented. People know he knows it. If I would go and put it into the water, I would say, that's crazy. This is weight and this is volume. But since he's a tabachuman, he apparently did this with frequency. It becomes like an uvda d'chal. Vilma b'chi barashi. Also, las is based yad b'basar. Now, nowadays, of course, we have plastic bags and we have paper bags and all the rest. Maybe we won't have them soon because they want the city council wants to go and put up an extra fee for bags. But the point is, how do you go and take this busser home if you don't have a bag with you? So what the uman would often do is he would go and poke a hole into the meat, and then you'd be able to put your hand and use it as a handle, right? You'd put a finger in, or you put a few fingers in, and you would go and make a handle. Now, this was standard procedure throughout the week when you went and sold meat. Such a man-made handle by boring a hole. This you now let it do. Again, it looks like uvda dechoil mekach memker prohibited.
Pre-cut and pre-weighed would not be considered kamin chol.
If it's all pre-cut and pre-weighed, and all you're doing is picking it up, is not a problem. Omer Ravina will be yod shori. If instead of using as a professional kli to bore a hole to make from that a handle, if instead the butcher was able to go and put his fingers in and he was able to kratz out and he was able to go and scratch out a hole that way, that's already permissible because that's not the normal way of doing it.
But it's still chagadol. And we are concerned with tircha inyantir.
You're right. Apparently, for a tabach, this is not such a big tircha, but I'm more concerned about the derech choil as well as in instead of the tircha. And so, therefore, since everybody sees that that's not a normal handle, it's going to fall out of his hand if he's not careful. If he doesn't run home quickly enough, the whole thing is going to plots. So people see it's not done professionally, it's done amateurishly. That's to make the shina. You can ask the same question about all of these things. It would be much easier if you just have a litter, in other words, a weight on one side instead of putting in a kli or a kupit. That makes things much more complicated. But my major concern over here is not the tircha. My concern is the ma'asachot. Omer Avuna, with the last is simen b'basar. Now this is now we're really leaving a little bit the inyan of yontif. We're talking more about hilchis kashrus. And as we know that if you don't go to the meat store, but it's delivered to your home. We do nowadays. We have to have kesher, but kesher has to be a double kesher to make sure that they didn't go and switch it for non-kosher meat. So what happens if instead of making a kesher, instead you want that the meat itself should be some sort of simen? Is mutalas a simen b'basar? You can go make a simen b'basar even on yontif. What type of simen do you mean? When he would go and, if he was the butcher, or if he was ordering meat, he would make sure that the meat was cut in a triangular fashion. When's the last time you ate a triangular piece of meat, right? So therefore, this was unique, and when it was sent home by the messenger, his wife or the family would open up the package, and they would see that it's triangular, and they know, oh, I have nothing to worry about, the messenger didn't switch this for other meat, because this is the special simen that they used. Okay, the Gemara tells us now a story about Reb Chiya and Reb Shimon Berebi. Remember those two names, because this is going to be very crucial before we get to the Mishnah about Reb Chiya and Reb Shimon Berebi. Anyway, apparently these two were very close peers, and from time to time, apparently they used to go and buy meat together as one, and then subsequently after they bought it, they would go and split it up. So they would shoiklin mana kenegin mana biyontif. They would go and take two portions and weigh one portion against the other portion. So this is not weighing a portion of meat against a weight, which our Mishnah said is prohibited. They didn't go and weigh it against a kli or keneged akupitz, but rather one portion of meat on one side of the scale, one portion on the other side, and when they were balanced, you know, oh, they must be the same weight. And that's what they did on yontif. So Gemara feels that this is problematic. Kiman loiker b'yudov loiker abanan. Iker b'yudo amar shoykel odom boser kineged akli oy kineged hakupitz. Kineged akli en kineged midyachrin aloy. This is what we spoke about before. That's why the Mishnah perhaps gave two examples to tell you it's not anything. Kupitz, mekli, but not mon. Then why would it be different between a mona and a kli? Says Rashi, because b'chol mona kineged mona is all to the derech kol hacholkim. Avada, if you're in a meat store and you're buying meat, he's not going to go and weigh one piece of meat against another piece of meat, because people say, well, how do I know what the first piece of meat, yeah, it says on it 1 pound, maybe it's only 3/4 of a pound, how do I know? So nobody's going to go and money can make money in a store. However, if you have partners if you have friends that are dividing up portions of meat between them and they're cutting it down the middle, yeah, okay, I'll take half, you take the half, let's split it. How else would you figure out if they're the same weight or not? So you would do mana, can I get mana? You wouldn't go and weigh it against a weight, okay, and let's take the other one and weigh it against the weight. That would be silly. Just go and weigh the two against each other.
It appears they're using a scale.
Exactly. It's not like the Chacham. The Chacham says you can't use a scale at all. Rav Yehuda says you can use a scale, but you use it b'terech shinui. So our Gemara says, k'neged a kli or k'neged a kupitz is a shinui. But one mana, k'neged another mana, that's not a shinui, because that's how you do it, says Rashi. That's derech kol acholkim. Anytime you're dividing up two pieces and you want to see the same weight, you'd put one on one side and the other.
It's not for sale, they just want to make it equal.
Exactly, they just want to split it up. No sales over here. We're just splitting up this piece of meat. Well, this very large piece of meat. Okay, anyway, continuing on. It's not like Rabbi Yehuda, because can I get a kupitz, can I get a kli, mamidiach rinolai. Iker abonon, ho amri e mashgich mafka mayim kol iker. The abonon said, don't even think about using a scales. So, of course, you can't put a mana and a mana on the two sides. Everything mara inu da'ovid k'rab Yeshua. They found another man the yomar in a braisa, the sanya. Rabbi Yeshua, Oimer, Shoiklin Mona, Kenegan Mona, beyond. Oh, Rabbi Yeshua says very clearly, you're allowed to be Shoiklin Mona, Kenegan Mona, and they followed Rabbi Yeshua's halach. Om Rabbi Yosef, halachic Rabbi Yeshua. We take a Pascha like Rabbi Yeshua, says Rabbi Yosef. How do I know? Hoylutanam bechayis kabase. Because I have a Mishnah, which is a Stam Mishnah, no man diomer in that Mishnah. And normally, if I have a Stam Mishnah, we assume that that's the Psak halacha. And there it says very clearly, did not. Now, that Mishnah has nothing to do with being shokel mana kenegan mana for yontif purposes. It has to talk about hilchos kodshim. That now the Mishnah besechtes b'chayrois that psuli hamagdoshin hana aslan lehegdish v'shokel mana kenegan mana bebechar. Now, what is this all about? So, there's a lot of background on this Mishnah, but we'll just encapsulize it in very, very succinctly. When it comes to kodshim, we have two concerns. On the one hand, we have a concern not to be mevazek kachim. We don't want to make any bizyonos for kachim. On the other hand, we also want to maximize whatever we can for the Beis HaMikdash in terms of maximizing income, maximizing the size and the quality of kabanis. So what happens if you have a regular karm? Person was makdish, an animal for an oila, for a shlamim, for a chatos, for an asham, a toida, whatever it was, he was makdish, an animal. And he's bringing it to the Beis HaMikdash, he is smiling from ear to ear, I'm so happy I'm bringing my carbon, and as they're walking, unfortunately there was a big pothole because we had the 12 snowstorms this winter, ever since de Blasio became mayor. Anyway, so the animal was walking, broke its leg in this pothole, they take the animal to the Chochem, the Mumcha looks at it, he says, this is a mum kavua, forget about it, you cannot use this animal for a cart. So what are you going to do? Since it has a mum kavua, you have to be poid it. Okay, no problem. You poid it. You want to go and sell it and get the highest price. Mm-hmm. Okay, that is one animal. Let's talk about now another carbon. The other carbon is a bechor or maaser. Bechor, as you know, if a Jewish farmer has a bechor born to its animal, to his animal, boom, you have to go and give it to the kohen. Maser is similar. If a person had 10 new animals that were born this year from the same daddy mommy, so to speak, certainly mommy, daddy beis menachmish, but from the mommy you have 10 new animals, one of them you have to designate as maser behema. You don't give that to the kohen. You take it for yourself and you bring it up to your shalayim and you bring it for a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. Of course, we're talking everything about when the Beis HaMikdash came. So now, what happens, however, if that bechor, when you give it to the kohen,
is there masa behema today?
There's no well, the halacha masa behema does continue to apply today. However, since you can't bring it for a carbon, it becomes a big, big problem. And therefore, when we learn a miyachim mesechtes chulin, we're going to learn that there's a loophole. What's the loophole? That if you have yad akum be'emtza, then there is no din of Masa Behema. What means Yad Akumem? Not that you sell it, you have to have him as a partner in your business. So if a Jewish cattle owner doesn't want to have a problem of giving Maser, or Bechor for that matter, he goes over to Mr. Smith, number to the third, that you know for sure is a Goyish and three Doyrus or whatever it is, a Chazaka, and you go and tell this guy, I'd like you to become my partner. I'm not interested in cattle. It's okay, I'm just going to give you 0.00001 percentage for you. Give me a dollar and you become my partial partner. Okay, fine. It's a formality, but Lemaisa, he becomes now a partner, even to a very small extent, and therefore you're off the hook. But otherwise, if you didn't do that, you'd have a problem. Okay, but anyway, getting back to our Gemara. So what happens if the Koyin, for instance, has his Bechor? He's supposed to bring the Beis Hamikdash. But what happens if he gets a Mum? You can't bring the Beis Hamikdash. You go and shecht it outside. What happens if the Koyin wants to go and sell this animal to other people? He doesn't need it. Oh, so the halacha is he can sell it. So now here I'm trying to go and sell the behema, which was my former oile shlomim, which became a balmum, and I want to go and sell my bechor, which became a balmum. It's a major difference in the procedure and the halachas applying to the sale of these two. When it comes to the Bechor, that second category, the halacha is ein nishchotin be'itliz, ve'ein moichrin be'itliz, ve'ein shoiklin be'litra, which means you cannot go and shecht it in public, in the public shlachtos where these things are normally shechted. You cannot go and sell it in the marketplace, and you cannot go and weigh it with your normal weights. What's the reason why? Because this is kodshim. Since it's kodshim, to go and sell it in the marketplace, what you're doing is you're demeaning and degrading this piece of meat, and you're making it like a chulin, you know, huh? But it's not. It has origins in kedusha. So this bechor mas, you're not allowed to do that. However, when it comes to regular kodshim that became psuli hamikdash, which means it became a bali mumin, then you are allowed to go and sell it in public. What's the difference, manishtana, between the Bechor and all other kabbalas? Because when the Kohen sells the Bechor, where do these proceeds go? To the Kohen in his own keshina. He takes it, he puts it into his own pocket. Therefore, we don't want to denigrate the elevated status of the Bechor by selling it in the meat, and selling it in the meat market as if it was regular chulin. Or an oshem, or whatever it happens to be, if it gets a mum, and you're going to go and sell it in the marketplace, it's going to fetch a much better price, because it's a public auction, people come and go, and people are, and you're also allowed to go and sell it, belitra, sell it your normal weight. Why there are we not concerned about the bizoyin, that we're denigrating the status of this elevated carbon? It's for kachim, but there is another concern which trumps that. What is the other concern that trumps that? That since this behemoth now became a balmum, the baalim have to bring a brand new carbon. This carbon lamushal, it cost him $500. When he went to the behemoth store to go and buy an oiler, to go and buy a shlomim, it cost him $500. It now got a mum. If you're going to go and tell him that you can only sell it in a private sale, not out in the marketplace, it's going to fetch a smaller price, only $400. Or he's going to replace it with a behemoth of less quality or less quantity. You know, instead of grade A, it's going to be grade B or C. Therefore, the Chacham said, no. Rather, you should go and sell in the marketplace to fetch the highest price possible to be able to go and bring a nice, beautiful new carbon. By the Bechor Mas, you don't bring a new carbon. Because the Balmum, you eat it outside the Beis Hamikdash. All the other Kabbalahs, if you get a Mum, you got to bring a new one in the Beis Hamikdash. So therefore, that's why it's different, and that's why the Mishnah begins, Psuli HaMakdosh and Hano Asam LeHegdish, the Hano that's derived, any income, any benefit that comes in, goes to the benefit of Hegdish. And that's why we're willing to go and sell it in the marketplace. By Bechor, however, you cannot sell it in the marketplace. And you also cannot go and weigh it against a regular weight. You have to kind of estimate the weight. However, but even though you cannot weigh it against a litter, meaning against a weight, you could go and put one portion on one side, one portion on the other side, and weigh it in that way. Aha. That's all it says in the Mishnah Maseches Bechoros. So the Gemara is assuming, just like Rabbi Yeshua said, that when it comes to Hilchas Yontif, even though Yontif you have to make Ashinoi, but money can get money is enough. Same thing with Gabe Bechor, even though you have to do Ashinoi, you can't go and sell it, Belitra, go and weigh it, but if you do money can get money is enough. is l'choyr, it's a nice raya to Rabbi Shua, even though we're talking about two different halachas. This is Hilchos Yontiv, and this is Hilchos Kotchin. No, I can distinguish between the two halachas. Ad kan the kamar Rabbi Shua hocha. When did Rabbi Shua say over here on Yontiv you can go way against one against the other? Ad lekem zayin kachim, because we're not talking about kachim, we're talking about regular chulin meat in our Mishnah, in our Gemara, and therefore we're saying a regular chulin meat on Yontiv, you want to split it up, you can be shoykel mona kinegin mona. It's not a problem. Avol hasam there when you're talking about bechor deikem zayin kachim loy. Perhaps you cannot weigh it mona kinegin mona. You have no right. Inam yad kan likam rabbanan hasam. Why did the rabbanan say over there that you can go and weigh mana kenegin mana by bechor and mishum delay mechzi ki ovdin dechayl, because it doesn't have the appearance of going and taking the yomtiv spirit and bringing it down and making it look like chol, because that halach of kachim is talking during the week on a regular Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So therefore the Chum said, there's no uvdin the choil problem, you can go and weigh mana kenegin mana. Avloch by our Mishnah, the Mechzik uvdin the choil, if you're going to go and weigh one mana against another mana, and like Rashi said before, that was the derech hacholkim, that's how you normally would do something like that, is the uvdin the choil, maybe the Chum would say no. It's like, anyway, so bottom line is, all Abaye said is, although it's a nice parallel, and it was a nice thought to think that perhaps we pass like Rabbi Shua because I have a stam Mishnah Kavosi but Hilchos Bechoris, but lav davka, nishkaraya, I can distinguish between the two halachas. Okay, that's the end of the halachic discussion. Now we're talking about the persons involved, and remember, if you go back again 10 lines from the top of the Omud, how did we get involved in this? That there were two colleagues, Reb Chia, Reb Shimon Berebi, that was shokel mona kenegin mona biyantif. Freiti mora lememer the kapti adodi. It sounds like that they were very, very particular. They were makbid. I don't want to give the other guy an ounce more, an ounce less. Let's weigh it to be on the safe side. Because if you're not makbid, what happens if you have two kids at home and each one says, I want the larger, I want a piece of kugel, I want a piece of kugel. Okay, we'll split it down the middle. So you split it down, do they start weighing it and see that you put it in the scales? No, okay, it's a little bit more, a little bit less. You're not makbid. There was one time that they sent seven portions of fish or seven fish to the house of Rebbe, and Rebbe wasn't going to use it, but rather it was split up between Reb Chia and Reb Shimon Berebbe, the two people that we were talking about. When it came to dividing up the seven, normally it'd have to be three and a half, or at least four and three. And guess what? One of the two, Reb Chia, took five pieces of fish, or five fish, and we don't find that Reb Shimon Rebbe made at Simmons. He says, because it's high, let him take six. That's all right, not a problem. I only need one portion, two portions. So you see, they weren't makbid. So over here, when it comes to money, all of a sudden it has to be exactly yekish, exactly the precisely the same amount. Amra Papa Shodi Garabinai. So Rav Papa says, you're absolutely right. This story that we spoke about of Shoykel Mona Kenegin Mona could not have happened with Rav Chiya Rav Shimon Berebi because they were not makbid. So Elamai, you have to throw in a third individual into the story. E Rav Chiya was Takar Rav Chiya, but it wasn't Rav Shimon Berebi, it was Rav Shmuel Berebi. You see? Or if you're telling me it's Rav Shimon Berebi, fine, but take out Rav Chiya and put in Bar Kapara. That's a really different story. And yes, they were makbid, but the other two were not. Okay. We're going to continue talking about Nachum, the Indian of Uvda Dechoyl, that you want to make a Shinoi, so it shouldn't appear that what you're doing is normal weekday types of activity. So therefore you have to again make Shinoyim. Says the Mishnah, Ein Mashchizen Es HaSaken B'Yontif. You cannot go and sharpen a Saken on Yontif. We'll see in the Gemara in a moment how they used to go and sharpen their knives. So what you can do is you can take one knife against the other. Right? Sometimes you see these fancy people, they go, and they try to sharpen it that way. Of course, what they may end up doing is just making a pegam in each one of the two, right, being poking them. But at least, presumably, those guys that know how to do it, they know how to go and sharpen one against the other to make the blades sharper by going one against the other. But since that's not the regular way, Rashi says, he's mishani mederecho, again, it's permissible. There may be more tircha involved, doing it like that. But the point is, it's a shinui from chol. But The ratio, the Mishnah says.
This was a shchita knife, right?
No, shchita knife for sure. Now, then you're going to make a pigam.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we're talking about shchita knife.
No, but it's regular knife that you use to go and cut challah, to go and cut, not to cut matzah, but to cut challah, unless you have very thick matzahs. But to go and cut challah, to go and cut bread, to go and cut your meat. You cannot go and sharpen it on yontif, but you mean masi al gabi chared. It says, Ima umravuna. That's that we said you can't sharpen el b'mashchezes shel evan. Oh, you know how they used to go and sharpen them? They used to sharpen them against a stone. Mashchezes shel eitz, doing it against wood is mutter, because obviously this is not going to be very effective. If you really want to sharpen it, you go against wood, it's not going to be that effective. So that's a shinu from chol, and that's permissible. So now, this member of Rav Huna became now the lead for Rav Yehuda. So Omer Rav Yehuda Omer Shmuel Hodi Amishel Evan Oser. Notice he's focusing on the first part of Rav Huna's halacha. First part was, don't use Mashchezes Shel Evan, but you can use Mashchezes Shel Eitz. So Rav Yehuda Omer Shmuel Hodi Amishel Evan Oser. That we said you cannot use the Evan Le'amon El Lechadeta, to sharpen it, that you're not allowed to. If all you're trying to do is if there's an accumulation of fat on the blade and you want to get that off, then you're allowed to go and rub it against the stone, just to, again, not to sharpen it, just to go and get off the schmutz. In other words, instead of using steel wool to go and get it off, you go and you do it again. So now the Gemara is metayik. That when it comes to lechadid, you'd even be able to use shel eitz. Because what did Rav Yehuda Mishmuel say? That you cannot use shel evan is lechareda of the havashem nisa is mutter. Mashchada shel eis is even more mutter. So what is even more mutter? It's mutter even lechareda, even to go and sharpen. Which is the way we learned Parshat Pshat. Rav Huna's halacha is you can't go and sharpen against evan, but you can sharpen against eitz, because that's a shinoi. So that's the first version. But ikka d'masi la sefer. All this started off, this Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, not on the Reisha, but on the Sefer. The what? What did Rav Huna say? You cannot use Shel Evan, but you can use Shel Eitz. But Shel Eitz is Mutter. I'm Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, Hadi Am Shel Eitz, Mutter, Le'amon El Lahabe Sham Nunisa. Even Eitz, you can't use it for Lechadada to go and sharpen. There too, only to remove the Shamnunis, to go and remove the Shmutz, the fat. Av Lechadada Osir, even by Shel Eitz. If the only heter of Mashchezes Shel Eitz is Lahav Mesham Nisa, just to take off the fat, Muzach Zayim Mashchezes Shel Evan, you can't even take off the fat, you can't even use it at all. So therefore, according to this version, it's much more chomor. According to the first version, the difference between the Shel Evan and Shel Eitz was the Gabi Lechadada. Here Lechadada is Osir, here Lechadada is Mutter, to sharpen. According to the second version, no. Both of them lechadada would be asur. The nafkimina would be legabe to lead lahavisham nisa, just to get off the fat. Now these two versions are identical to the next two versions, which we're going to have now. Ik the masin lo amasisin. Others said Rav Yehuda Mishmuel did not say his halacha on Rav Huna's halacha, but on our Mishnah. Again, what does it say in the Mishnah? Ein mashchizin is a sakin biyontiv al masi al gabe cha verta. So therefore, the first version was, "Hey, mashchiz nesakim biyontiv." Om Rav Yehuda Mishmuel loyshona el lechadada. You're not allowed to go and sharpen the sakim. Av lahamdashim nisa, to just get off the shmutz, the fat mutter. That's okay. Michlal. So now getting to the safe of the Mishnah, dal gabi chaber to fill lechadada nami mutter. It's mashu. You can even sharpen one knife against the other knife, which is the way we learn pashup pshat in the Mishnah. You're now allowed to sharpen against professionally against the regular way of sharpening, which would be against an evan of some sort, but one against the other is mutter. However, ikel masil ha-seifa, but there was another version. Av masil gabi chaberta, on the seifa it says you're allowed to go and do one against the other. Am revira mishmul, you know what you're allowed to do against the other? Veshon lahavisham nisa. You're only allowed to get off the shmalt, the fat. Achadah to go and sharpen is asur. Machlal de mashchezes, afil lahavisham nisa is asur. So according to this pshat, when it says in the Mishnah, ein mashchizin, it doesn't mean only to sharpen. You're not allowed to even remove the additional fat that is accumulated on the side of the blade. Also, the only way you can do it is if you rub one knife against the other. Frank Timar Mantana Talent, the Mashchezes also. Who's the one that holds that you have a problem in sharpening your knife? This is not like Rabbi Yehuda. We've had this Rabbi Yehuda already a number of times. but it's on the side of Nan instead of Tanya. Yeah, the Tana Mishnah. Ein b'yom tov Shabbos al oichol nefesh b'ilvad. Mishnah Maseches Megillah, that the only difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov is oichol nefesh. You're allowed to do cooking and preparing food on Yom Tov. Rabbi Yehuda Matir, not only oichol nefesh, af machshire oichol nefesh. You're even allowed to go and fix and improve the machshirim. A knife, of course, is a machshir oichol nefesh. Says Rabbi Yehuda, you would be permitted to go and use the mashchezes. Our Mishnah says you cannot use the mashchezes. Says Rav Chizda, the loy Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah doesn't stem loy Rabbi Yehuda. Omli Rav Chizda, Toshina Mivshimcha Halach Rabbi Yehuda. Is it okay, Rav Chizda, if we say in your name that Halach is like Rabbi Yehuda? Amalei Yehirava, Yehirava is like Yehir Ratzayin, the Chalkihani, Milim Aliyasa, Tidusha Mishamoy. Such a good shtickle Torah, I'm more than happy that you should say in my name. Halavai, they should only say such things in my name, and they shouldn't say other things. Yes, absolutely, if you want to say in my name that the Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, Gezun Tahait, no problem. But as we'll see now in the Gemara, it's not that simple. Again, Rabbi Yehuda is the one that said that not only are you allowed to do avoida of oichel nefesh, but you're even allowed to do a malacha that involves the machshirei oichel nefesh. And now we're going to deal with that for the next few lines. Amr b'chemi b'rei d'Rav Yosef, ha'v'kim n'kami d'Rava, I was standing in front of d'Rava, v'ha'v'kom ma'avir l'sakina apuma d'vikul, and I saw that he was scraping his sakin, his knife, on the side, or actually the mouth, of a d'kula of a basket. Now, why would he be scraping his knife against the basket? Be Amri, then I asked him, L'chad tekov in mar, are you doing this to sharpen the knife on Yontif? Or is it to remove the extra schmaltz that has accumulated on the blade? The Omali, and Rava answered me, L'havashem no nisa, that he did it to go and remove the schmaltz. Now, that's what he said. The Chazis Ledati, but by the way he expressed himself, I saw the L'chad tekov in. In other words, that he really felt and he really was doing it not only to remove the shamnisa, but even le chadet. In other words, that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. So why didn't he say that I'm allowed to do it even le chadet? Because Rabbi held halacha ve'ein moiden kate. Even though the halacha is stuck like Rabbi Yehuda, and you are allowed le chadet with the bederach shinoi against the side of a basket. However, you cannot paskin like that out in the open l'rabim. Why? So people shouldn't be mezalzel in yontif. But if you're allowed to. What's the problem? So Rashi says, and we'll see in the Gemara in another few lines, that even Rabbi Yehuda doesn't give a blanket permit to go and do anything for machshiri oichel nefesh. It's got to be those machshirim that you could not take care of on erev yontif. For instance, by these knives, we're talking about an Erev Yontif, it still worked perfectly. No problem. On Yontif, unfortunately, it became very dull. In other words, any knife, after you use it 15 times, 100 times, 500 times, eventually it gets dull. So eventually you have to go and sharpen it. By Erev Yontif, it was still working nicely, no problem. By the time it came Yontif, unfortunately, it went over the brink. No longer works. I gotta go and cut until I finally can cut it. Aha. So therefore, that type of situation where you couldn't have realized an Erev Yontif that you're going to have a problem on Yontif, then you're allowed to do it on Yontif. Or, Rashi says, in a case where a person was an onus on Erev Yontif, L'mashal Echvais, he had to go to the emergency room, Echvais, he had a toothache or whatever it was, and therefore he didn't have a chance to go and sharpen it on Yontif. Therefore, since he couldn't, then Rabbi Yehuda says, okay, you're allowed to do it on Yontif itself. But this is not a blanket heter. And that's why Rava was very nervous about saying directly, yes, you can go and sharpen it against Apumid Tikula, because he was afraid that people would learn from that you can use that Lichat Chila, but it's only really a B'dievet situation. And now we have an identical case. We Omer Abaya, Avakim Lekami Demar, was standing in front of Mar. Mar usually means Rabba, in the case of Abaya. V'hava komaver sakina asifsa derechaya. And he was doing the same thing. He was taking his knife and rubbing it against the side of a mill. And I asked him, why are you doing this? Is it lechadeh or lehavisham nunis? The amri lehavisham nunisim. The chazid ledate. However, I saw by his response, lechadeh dekoav, but then in fact he held that you are allowed to do lechadeh, because over aloch v'inamorin came, but he didn't want to say this clearly because he's afraid that people will understand this incorrectly and they'll be mezalzel in yontif and lechadchila. Go and sharpen all their knives on Yontif. Right? A person is busy during the week. He says, you know what? I'll sharpen all my knives. Comes Yontif. I hold like Rabbi Yehuda. I'll sharpen all of them. But you're not allowed to do that. Only b'diyeh, but not l'chadchala. Eboilu. Ma'ol l'harois sakin l'chacham b'yontif. Are you allowed to go and show a sakin to a chacham? Now, as Rashi points out, and the minig is still this way today in many communities, that the shochtim would go and show their knives to the chacham, so the chacham would go and inspect the knife to make sure that it's not pogum. Aha. Okay, so the question is, are you allowed to go and do this on yontif? So what's the problem in doing this in yontif? So Rashi says, by showing the chacham on yontif, as opposed to showing him the day before, then it looks again like an uvda dechoil. Because people assume, why is he showing you that? It must be he's going to go and shecht an animal. Now, what are you going to do with a big animal on Yontif? So he's going to have 50 customers. He's going to give this one a rib steak, and this one a shoulder steak, and this one chop meat, and this one flank, and I can already visualize it. I can already depict it in my mind. I could see lines of people standing by the shaykh. So therefore, that's the shy that you're allowed to show the sack to the chacham or not. Rav Meri Bered Ravina Bizna Shari says yes, it's mutter. Rabban Asri Bana say no. If you want to show your sack to the chacham, show it to him on erev yontiv. Rav Yosef Amar Tamar Chacham royally atzmoi umashil acherim. Instead, what happens if you have a regular shochet and he forgot to go and show it to the chacham on erev yontiv? He didn't have a chance. Whatever. What should you do? Go to the Tamar Chacham. The Tamar Chacham who owns his own sakinim, his own chalifs. This Tam Chacham apparently was a shochet as well. So therefore, he had his own collection of chalifs. And now me. Other shoychet, and I'm not such a Talmud Chacham, I go over to the shoychet Talmud Chacham and I can borrow it from him because he will look at it before he lends it to me. Yeah, this is fine, yeah, you can use it. So then it's not a problem because it's not that you're going to the Chacham to show it. The Chacham himself is looking over his inventory of knives and he gives you one that doesn't look like an Uvda
Chacham.
Or you can go and shecht it to go and sell. Again, don't put it balitra, don't weigh it against weights. Go and weigh it against a kli or a kupit. However, make sure that if you're shechting on yontif, that you have a sakin which was already boduk, which was already inspected the day before on erev yontif.
But the reason why you can't do it is because the people can think you're using it to sell the meat.
That's if you go and show the sakin to the chacham. Then it becomes like an uvda dechoil. But if you do it privately without going to the chacham, then it doesn't have that same.
Would I still be allowed to sell the meat?
You could sell the meat without specifying a price and without weighing it with weights.
Do you have to use any portion of it yourself?
No, it doesn't say anywhere. No, this is all al simchas yontif. It's not the whole din of oichel nefesh is mutter. You're allowed to go and shecht the whole thing in a mekka chomemker.
What are you shechting for? You're shechting for people that are coming to you.
For a wonderful Tyre Yidin, Achenu B'nai Yisrael, that need meat on Yontif.
Every Yontif.
The reason why they're coming on Yontif, like Rashi said before, there was no refrigeration if you're going to go and buy meat.
Six people showed up, or my husband brought home six extra people from Shul.
Ein simcha ele basar v'yayin. The simchas Yontif is with basar. Nowadays we go put the basar in the refrigerator. In the good old days they didn't have refrigeration. Right. If it was warm, the meat that was left over would spoil overnight. Mm-hmm. I need meat for today for my Orchim, so I go to the Shoykim and say, maybe you're going to shech today. Yeah, Grada, you're not the only one. 25 people already came over to me and told me their meat spoiled. No problem, we're going to shech today. The Omer of Yosef, Sakin She'amda means a sakin that became so dull that it doesn't cut any longer. Mutal Chadat Abiyantiv, like Rabbi Yehuda said, that you're allowed to go and fix Machshirim on Yantiv. But that Stavka, that it umda on yontif, not that it was umda the day before. It was umda the day before. It was dull the day before. Then you should have been mashkes. You should have been mechadei the day before. V'ani mili hu de poska agav doichka. What does that mean? Rashi says the poska agav doichka that it's still usable, but you gotta put a lot of pressure. Just like if you have a challah knife that if you've been using for the last 25 years, especially if you have a water challah as opposed to egg chal, you can usually just break it apart by your hand. But if it's a water chal which has heavy crust, so
egg
after
chal, egg chal is hard to cut because it's so soft.
Fair enough. But there you don't need a sharp blade. All you just need to do is you take your knife, even if it's totally dull, if you put enough pressure, you can get through. So if it still cuts agav dochka, then you can go and be machaded it on yontif. However, if it doesn't work at all, and you can go and 100 times back and forth, and you haven't gotten anywhere, then you're not allowed to go and sharpen it on yontif, because Rashi says that's already a tirchu yisera to go and that for sure. If it doesn't work at all, if at least works halfway, but you got to put a lot of pressure. Okay, so all you're doing is you're improving it, but to go and fix it, doshinish. Okay. Dorish Rav Chizvi Semer Rav Yosef Echad Tzakin Shnifkim Ovi Echad Shpud Shnirtzam Bi Echad Greifis Tana Bekirayim Bi Yontif Banan L'machloikiz Rav Yudah Ve'er Rabbanan. This machloikiz about Machshirim would apply in the following three cases. Sakin Shnifkim, a sakin that got a Gam. Begam means that it got a nick in it, and therefore you couldn't use it L'mashal to Shecht, because Shechting has got to be totally smooth, not with any nicks. Ve'echad Shpud Shnirtzam. Shpud means a spit that you use to go and roast meat, and part of it, the top edge of it, unfortunately got cut off, broke off, and as a result you cannot easily spare the meat with this spit. Normally, how do you get the meat on the spit? It has a sharp edge at the end, like a razor sharp edge, and you go and spare it and you put it through. You can't put it through a skate niche. So therefore you want to sharpen that end so that you should be able to go and spare the meat to go and get it into the meat. Or echad greifas tana v'kirayim, meaning that the inside of your oven, some of the mortar that's holding this oven together fell in, and it's in the back of the oven, and it's causing trouble. Are you allowed to go and fix these three on yont if you need them? It's the machloikas. Machloikas appear rabban and desani. This is a mishnah that we brought in the Amud Aleph. It's really be detanan. Eim yont l'shabbos al oichel nefesh bilvad. The matir af machshiri oichel nefesh. Yehuda says, not only the Oichel Nefesh, even the Machshirim is Mutter. My Tana Tanakama, what's the reason for each view? Tanakama says, I'm across, it's in the Pasuk. Ach asher ye'ochel lechol nefesh, hu levada ye'osel lechem. What's the hu levada? You could have said, ach asher ye'ochel lechol nefesh, levada. What's the hu levada? Hu v'lai Machshirim, only the Oichel Nefesh itself, but not the Machshirim. It says in the Pasuk, "Hu levada ye'osel lechem." Why does that say lechem? My mind tach for the Goyim, my mind tach for the Yidin. What's the Yosef Lachem? Lachem L'chol Tzorcheichem comes to Bimar Be even the Machshirim. But Tanakam Haksev Lachem, what is it with Lachem? Amlacha Lachem V'loy L'nochrim. That what happens if you invited some Goyim to your house on Yontif to have a Seder, to have a festive meal together with your friends, the Goyim? So then the Halacha is, if you want to go and cook extra for these guests, if the guests are Jewish, you're allowed to cook. But for the goyim, you're not allowed to go and cook lechem v'loy lenachrim.
The Tanakhama makes more sense. It reads more clearly.
You know, it's hard to go and say about tanoim.
Because you're changing lechem lechol. Well, Tanakhama is lechem is diet.
I hear what you're saying, but each one of them, when they said these drushes, they didn't make it up. They had a bit kabbalah from their rebbe and their rebbe and their rebbe. Back to many, many years ago. V'irach nam yoksiv, who? What do you do with the fact that it says hu levado, which is mashma, hu v'loy machshirav? Amalach siv hu ksiv lachem. This is Rabbi Yehuda speaking. You're right, it says hu, only the oichel nefesh. It says lachem, which is mashma l'chol tzorcheichem, v'loy kasha. Kan machshirim she'ef shal asoiz me'erev yontav, kan machshirim she'ef shal asoiz me'erev yontav. This is what we spoke about earlier, that even Rabbi Yehuda himself, who is matir to go and fix the machshirim, only those that e'ef shal asoiz me'erev yontav. The knife that was not dull yet, the spit that was not broken yet, the mortar that didn't fall yet, all those things that only happen now on Yom Tov morning, your wife comes to you and says, ah, look what happened, the knife doesn't work. Yesterday it worked beautifully, today it doesn't work. Or the shoichet says, yesterday had no pegam, today it has pegam, I can't go and use it for shechting. The spit fell, and the top fell off, what am I going to do? Oh, says Rabbi Yehuda, since it was E.F. Shlasoi Samir of Yom Tov, you can go and fix it on Yom Tov. This nirtzaf doesn't mean that it broke off, the edge broke off. Says Rashi, means that it got bent. Now, a spit that gets bent, it's still workable. It's not as good, it's not as high functioning as a spit which is nice and straight. If it's bent, it doesn't work as well, but it still works. So says the Gemara, if it still works, also sakna yontif, you can't go and fix it. If it still works, why should I have a right to go and do a malach? I'm fixing it. It still works. It's the type of fixing that you could go and fix it without taking a hammer and banging on it. You can go and take it with your hands and you can flex it back and forth and you can go and fix it. So I would think, oh, this is a garnish. I'm just taking my hand. No, even that, it's also to do. A spit that you already used for tzli, you're not being metaltel. So now, for the first time, we are leaving hilchas uvdin dechol, things that appear to be like you're doing weekday work, and we're leaving the sugya of machshirim, but rather we're talking now about hilchas muktza. What's the muktza over here? Everybody agrees that you're allowed to go and cook on yontif for yontif itself, and you're allowed to go and roast on yontif for yontif itself. That's no problem. But what happens after you roasted meat on the shbud? As you know, as a result of the roasting, all types of juices, all types of fats spill out on the spit, and now you've taken the meat off, and this shbud is full of schmaltz and full of oil and full of all types of wonderful stuff, and to use it again, you'd normally have to go and clean it. But until you clean it, you're not going to use it. In fact, it's kind of repulsive, because it's all schmutzig. I don't want to get my hands wet and dirty, and I don't want to get my clothing dirty, and if it gets a stain, it'll cost me a lot of money, and the cleaners won't be able to get it out. So it's something which is no longer usable, and therefore it's now muktza asal taltal miyantif. So what does that mean? You're going to hold it the whole day? I mean, you just took off the meat, you're going to hold it? What are you going to do with it? Says the Gemara, Rafad Barahav Omer, Malkiyoi, show him to Menicha Beken Zavius. What you can do is, you can go Kilachar Yad and kind of kick it towards the corner. Don't pick it up with your hands, but, you know, somehow move it by doing Kilachar Yad.
Does this sound like dirty dishes to you?
Dirty dishes is a different story. There you have that's what's called a Graf Shorei. Therefore, even though normally, if you didn't have the benefit of Graf Shorei, you'd have to leave the dirty dishes on the table and you wouldn't be able to go and put them into the kitchen sink. The reason why we're allowed to is Graf Shorei means that the Chum were matted. Remember, Muktzah is Dechter Rabbanon. And Graf Shorei means just like if a child makes in the potty, you can't leave the potty over there with the tzoya the whole Shabbos or Yom Tov. You're allowed to go and remove it. So the dirty dishes also have the same type of status. Of course, not the same level of repulsiveness, but nevertheless, that's also part of that category. They're not Muktzah anymore. However, by this Shpud, the Gemara says, I have an Eitzah Toivah. You don't have to pick it up. Just go and kick it to the side, put it in the Keren Zavis. Even there, says Rav Huna, it's going to have a Kzayis Basar. Kzayis Basar, therefore, means that this Shbud has on it things which are edible, so it's not totally Muktza. I would want that Kzayis. Then you're allowed to do it Kilachar Yad in the corner. He says it's no different than a koitz b'shus rabim, meaning that if you have a shpud lying in the middle of your kitchen or your dining room, besides the fact that it's shmutzik and therefore it's repulsive, it's also a shtikl sakana, because a person might step on it, he might slip, he might fall, he might trip on it, and especially right if you finished using it for roasting, it's still hot. Person can go and burn themselves on it. So therefore, it's a sakana. It's just like a koitz b'shus rabim. When you have thorns in a shus rabim, in other words, in a place where it's going to hurt people, what can you do about the koitz b'shus rabim? Says Rashi, you're allowed to go and be molechet pochis midalet amois to the tzidr shus rabim kadesh leitazik. Under normal circumstances, we would not allow a person to go and carry something pochis midalet amois, but here you're allowed to do it lechatchila because it's a shtikl sakana. So here too, even if it didn't have a kazayis basa, because of the sakana involved, you're allowed to go and push a kilachiyad to the side. Anyway, who's the one that said that halacha was Rav Malkiyoy? And now we have a very famous Gemara that appears six times in Shas, five, six times, which distinguishes between Rav Malkiyoy and Rav Malkiyoy. The name Malkiyoy and Malkiyoy are rare names. You don't have them every day in the Gemara. And so therefore, the Gemara was concerned that I might mispronounce and misallocate a particular memra to the wrong individual. that I would say that Ramal Kiyo said something instead of Ramal Kiyo, or that Ramal Kiyo said something instead of Ramal Kiyo. And so therefore, they categorize them together. Omer Rav Chinna Barei Rav Ika Shpud Shvachis V'gumois was Rav Malkiyo. Loides Efer Maklu Gvina was Rav Malkiyo. Okay, now what are these six halachas? Without going through them in excruciating detail, just briefly, Shpud we just had now, the halacha that Rav Malkiyo said that you're allowed to be shomto menicha bekenzovius, you're allowed to kilacha yad, push the spit to the side. Shvachois goes on in Mishnah in Masechtas Ksubas. What does it say in Masechtas Ksubas? It says over there that if a wife, a husband and wife get married, a chosan kala get married, the wife has to do certain basic melachas for her husband. That's her marital duties to her husband, to go and do certain basic things, like cooking and making and this, that, and the other thing. It says there in the Mishnah, what happens, however, if this is a woman of means, or at least her father is a man of means, and he sent along with her a shivcha, someone to help out, so then she doesn't have to do certain things. If he sends two shvachas, other things. In other words, cooking, baking, weaving, sewing, this, that, and cleaning, whatever. One shivcha will take care of one category. Two shvachas takes care of two. Once he sends along four shvachas, then she's basically off the hook. She can go shopping all day, and she doesn't have to do any malach. Says the Mishnah, says Rabbi Lezer, even if she brought along 100 shvachas, she still has to do some things for her husband. Because if she doesn't, habatola mevili de zima. If a person has nothing to do, it's only going to cause tzuris. Ah. Anyway, bottom line is...
What she has to do?
What does she have to do? Shouldn't either. You have to, it's really Masechtas Ksubas. She has to do lasis betzemer. She has to do some weaving. She has to go and knit things together. Do some cooking. Some sort of malacha that she shouldn't go and sit in her hands all day doing nothing, because that can only breed trouble. Ah, so that's Reb Lezer. Said Rav Malkiyo, we paskin like that Reb Lezer in the halacha of shvachis. What's halacha of gumais? Gumais is a halacha in the Masechtas Nida and other places. We're talking about a girl, when does she become a bas mitzvah? So we think of, she becomes bas mitzvah when she's 12 years old, which is true. However, for all halachas, it's not enough that she's just 12 years old, but she also has to have two saris. Of course, those are more or less happen simultaneously, contemporaneously. However, for certain halachas, you have to know for sure whether she became a bas mitzvah or not. Okay, so what happens if someone inspects and finds she doesn't have two sa'arois, but she has two gumais? Gumais means those follicles, the holes from which the sa'aris normally would grow. That's... Says Rav Malkiyo, that's also enough, as long as they're two gumois, because we can assume that they were two hairs, and the two hairs just fell out. But that's why you have the two gumois. So therefore, those are the three halachas of Rav Malkiyo, one about shvud, shvachas, and gumois. But it's important to note already at this time, that the shvud halacha, like our Mishnah, like our Gemara, is not on a Mishnah, this is on a Shmaitza, in other words, halacha of the Gemara. The Shvachos, Rav Malkiyo is commenting on a Mishnah, and Gumois is again commenting on a Shmaitza, in other words, halacha of the Amiroim, not of the Mishnah. So Shpud and Gumois were both Shmaitzes. Shmaitzes means the Amiroim. Shvachos, he was saying halacha on the Mishnah. Now, that was Rav Malkiyo. Now we're talking about Rav Malkiyo. Rav Malkiyo spoke about Bloris. What's the halacha of Bloris? Bloris is halacha, again, in a Mishnah, Masechtas Avodah Zarah, where it says if you happen to be a Jewish barber, and you have a customer who is a kusi, in other words, a goy, and this goy wants you to give him a very special type of haircut, which the Oivdei Avodah Zarah, the idolaters, had that type of haircut. And if you're going to do it exactly the way he wants you to do it, you're in a sense going to be enforcing and implementing and assisting the Avodah Zarah haircuts. So therefore what you should do is, when you get close to the haircut line for purposes of Avodah Zarah, stay away from it. Now how do you stay away from it? Says Rav Malkiyo, Sholish etzbois l'chol ruach v'ruach l'chol svivoseha lo yiga. What you should do is, where that bloitis is, bloitis in Yiddish they used to call it a chup, lavdafka in the front. They also had bloitis, they had in the back like ponytails, it's also called a bloitis. But the point is, if this was not just because that's the fashion that everybody today wears such funny haircuts, but this was done specially for this avodah zarah, what you have to do is, if you're a Jewish barber, stay away from the bloitis three etzbois. Meaning, leave here and don't cut all the hair up to the bloitis. Leave three finger widths on each direction from all sides, so therefore you're not going and being mesakel l'shem avodah zarah. That was Ramalkiyah's halacha by bloitis. And this halacha, by the way, is on a braisa. In other words, it's related to a Mishnah braisa, to the Tanoi. That's halacha number one. What's the halacha of Efer Makler? This is a shmeitza, halacha of the Rabbanon, that what happens if a person has a wound, he should go and put in an iodine or mercurochrome, but he shouldn't put in Efer Makler. Efer Makler means ash which is hot, because if you put hot ash into a wound, what it may eventually may come out is ksivis kaka. You might cause there to be a tattoo. In other words, how do they do tattoos? I don't know exactly how they do it, but presumably they take some sort of instrument that makes engraves in the skin, but it's hot.
You mean a scar, not a tattoo.
Well, Rashi uses the expression ksivis kaka. A scar is one thing. Here we're talking about a tattoo is another thing. So if you put Efer Makler into your makah, near a kiksevis kaka, it has the appearance of tattooing. That is prohibited. That is Rav Malkiyah. Third halacha is gvina. You're not allowed to eat non-kosher cheese. In other words, cheese bought from a goy. Why not? Okay, so in general, the reason is because the rennet is made from a non-kosher animal, etc., etc. However, Rav Malkiyah gave a totally different reason. He said the reason is, even if the gvina was made through a normal kosher process, I got another problem, and that is that the goyim used to go and shmear each one of their gvinois b'shum and chazir. They used to go and put some oil on top, not oil, but schmaltz, and the schmaltz was from a chazir, from a treif animal. That's the reason why you're not allowed to eat it. Okay, that's fine. And that, again, is talking about a shmeitzer. Okay, so now the Gemara says, so remember, we said that the first three is Rav Malkiyah, the second three is Rav Malkiyah. Rav Papa Omar, I disagree. Masnisen umasnisa Rav Malkiyah, shmeitzer Rav Malkiyah. Says Rav Papa, if you're dealing with a Mishnah or a Braisa, that was Rav Malkiyah. If you're dealing with a shmeitzer, that's Rav Malkiyah. Okay, so going back to Rav Malkiyah, now you understand why I made a big tzimis about whether it's a Shmaitza or it's a Mishnah. Malkiyah, the first the three that he had, Shpud, Shvachas, Vegumais, Shpud was a Shmaitza. So that's good. That's Rav Malkiyah, that's good. The Gumais was also a Shmaitza. Right. However, the Shvachas goes on the Mishnah, and Mesechtes Ksubis, how many Shvachas the person has? 1, 2, 3, 4, 100, blah, blah, that's on the Mishnah. Oh, so that's not Rav Malkiyah. That's Rav Malkiyah. And therefore, said the Gemara, is going to see if you skip a line, Ikebanai, what's the Nafkimina? Nafkimina will be Shvachas. Take out Shvachos from Rav Malkiyah and insert that in Rav Malkiyah. So Rav Papa Omer Masis Rav Malkiyah, Shmaitz Rav Malkiyah. Now the Samara, how are you going to remember who is whom? Which one was Rav Malkiyah? Which one was Rav Malkiyah? Masnisin Malkisa. The Mishnah is like the queen. What do we mean? Because the word Mishnah ends with a hey, and that has a feminine sound to it. Malkisa also has a feminine sound to it. Malkiyah with an aleph has a feminine sound, because Malkiyah sounds more like masculine. So therefore, anything which is involving a Mishnah, a Braisa, that falls into the category of Malkisa. That's king, that's queen. That's Rav Malkiyah with the aleph. The Shmaitza is Rav Malkiyah with the vav, my benai, with an afkimina between the first Rav Chinna Bered, Rav Ikka, and Rav Papa, Ikka benai Shvachos. Where according to Rav Chinna Bered, Rav Ikka, the Shvachos is Rav Malkiyah's, and according to Rav Papa, this would be Rav Malkiyah. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi.